The moral logic of the "we're all immigrants" argument is difficult to parse. It seems to be claiming that two wrongs make a right. Moreover, there's no evidence that the first wrong was a wrong. Nothing is known about the contacts among the various waves of Paleo-Indian migration. But in any case, whether most of today's Native Americans actually arrived first or second is irrelevant to an assessment of their cultural achievements. In every imaginable scenario, they left Eurasia before the first whisper of the Neolithic Revolution. The Neolithic Revolution is the invention of farming, an event whose significance can hardly be overstated. The human career, wrote the historian Ronald Wright, divides in two: everything before the Neolithic Revolution and everything after it. It began in the Middle East about 11,000 years ago. In the next few millennia, the wheel and the metal tool sprang up in the same area. The Sumerians put these inventions together, added writing, and in the 3rd millennium BC created the first great civilization. Every European and Asian culture since, no matter how disparate in appearance, stands in Sumer's shadow. Native Americans, who left Asia long before agriculture, missed out on the bounty. They had to do everything on their own, Crosby said to me. Remarkably, they succeeded. Researchers have long known that a second independent Neolithic revolution occurred in Mesoamerica. The exact timing is uncertain. Archaeologists keep pushing back the date. But it is now thought to have occurred about 10,000 years ago, not long after the Middle East's Neolithic revolution. In 2003, though, archaeologists discovered ancient seeds from cultivated squashes in coastal Ecuador at the foot of the Andes, which may be older than any agricultural remains in Mesoamerica. A third Neolithic revolution. This Neolithic revolution probably led, among many other things, to the cultures in the Beni. The two American Neolithics spread more slowly than their counterpart in Eurasia, possibly because Indians in many places had not had the time to build up the requisite population density, and possibly because of the extraordinary nature of the most prominent Indian crop, maize. I call it maize instead of corn because Indian maize, multicolored and usually eaten after being ground and dried, was strikingly unlike the sweet yellow kernels we think of as corn. The ancestors of wheat, rice, millet, and barley look like their domesticated descendants. Because they are both edible and highly productive, one can easily imagine how the idea of planting them for food came up. Maize can't reproduce itself because its kernels are securely wrapped in the husk, so Indians must have developed it from some other species. But there are no wild species that resemble maize. Its closest genetic relative is a mountain grass called teosinte that looks strikingly different. For one thing, its ears are smaller than the baby corn served in Chinese restaurants. No one eats teosinte because it produces too little grain to be worth harvesting. In creating modern maize from this unpromising plant, Indians performed a feat so improbable that archaeologists and biologists have argued for decades over how it was achieved. Coupled with squash, beans, and avocados, maize provided Mesoamerica with a balanced diet, one arguably more nutritious than its Middle Eastern or Asian equivalent. Andean agriculture, based on potatoes and beans, and Amazonian agriculture, based on manioc, cassava, had wide impact, but on a global level were less important than maize.